I'm look forward to today. I know that God has something and already has, amen, deposited something in us. And how many have a full cup already?
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to be an overflowing cup for Him. So the world will experience and encounter Jesus, amen. And we're here for that today. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. God, I just thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. We had a wonderful day yesterday at the Glory Barn. Man, everything just was beautiful, wasn't it? The fellowship, the gathering, the weather. And unexpectedly, a guy came with a guitar. It was a couple that does ministry together, puppet ministry, and he brought his guitar. And I didn't have a guitar, so I said, hey, can I check out your guitar? And I just started playing it. Next thing you know, we're just doing worship, and everybody starts gathering around. It was a very spontaneous God thing. But I tell you what, heaven, amen, came down, and glory filled us up. Yeah, so, yeah, it's been good. Anyways, if you don't know about Glory Barn, there are some cards out on the table. We have several more going on this summer, one each month. There you go. There's instructions on there. You can go on the website and find out how to get there. All right. Today is Pentecost, right? Pentecost Sunday. And you know, I had somebody suggest that I do a message on Pentecost Sunday, and I couldn't find anything else to do better than that. So we're going to do a message on Pentecost. So what does it mean to be Pentecostal? Are any Pentecostals in here this morning? You know, maybe charismatics, you know, close to the same thing. I know sometimes Pentecost gets a bad name, but rest assured we're not picking up any snakes in here today, okay? We're not going there, so. Pentecostal believers are really people that pattern themselves in belief and practice with the original church. That's our desire. Amen. It's to look back in the book of Acts and see how they did it and do the same. Amen. And which was born really in Acts chapter 2. We read about it on the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, which was the cross of our Lord. Amen. And he had told his disciples that he was going to send something special upon them to equip and prepare them and empower them to be bold, to be powerful witnesses for him. And how many know that apart from him, really, we're not very effective? As a matter of fact, we can do zero, right, apart from him. When it comes to eternal things and making a difference, we need the grace of God. We're to function in the grace of God. And God chooses earthen vessels such as you and I to do that. And so there's only one superhero up in here today, right? And that is Jesus. And our eyes are upon him today. We know that he deserves the glory for the things that he has done. And so the Bible is our manual, and the early church is our model, okay? And when I got born again, I got blasted in my bedroom, okay? I wasn't even at a church meeting. I just had an encounter with God that forever changed me. And I, you know, if I went into a church that was dead, I was like, what's wrong with these people, you know, because I was just lit up for Jesus, you know. And so fortunately, Jesus was already going to a church, a Pentecostal church in Tacoma. And boy, this is a Korean American church. And those Korean ladies, man, they don't give up. You know, they're relentless. I mean, they'll chase you down and drag you to church, you know, grab you by the ear and off you go, you know. So, I didn't have a chance. You know, they ganged up on me and started praying. And so, anyways, it's all history, and I'm so glad that they did. I'm so glad that they loved me enough, all right, to not give up on me. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't give up on us? But the Jewish feasts, the Feast of Weeks, was Shabbat, or Pentecost, again, is usually in the month of May or June. And this is 50 days after Passover. And it's also a Feast of Harvest. It was a time to present an offering of new grain of the summer wheat to the Lord. It represents joy and thankfulness for the Lord's blessing of harvest. So we see that Pentecost is tied to harvest. Think about that. Pentecost and harvest are tied together. Okay? It's also tied to the Ten Commandments. And it's believed that God gave Moses the commandments during the same Feast of Weeks, the same time period. So after the Lord's resurrection, and before he ascended back into heaven, he gave instructions to his disciples. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46, then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So it is believed that Luke was a medical doctor who also wrote the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, he quoted Jesus here saying in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very familiar passage, "But you shall receive power," dunamis, dynamic working power, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now when he, in verse 9, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus says, "I'm going to return to the Father because I'm going to get my inheritance, amen? And I'm going to release something back to you so that you're not going to be alone in this world." He's going to send the Comforter, amen? And he's going to enable you to do the things that Jesus did, amen, by faith, in obedience to the will of God. In Acts chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer." They did what? They all continued in one accord together. What? In prayer. And that word prayer means earnest prayer. It's not a whisper of prayer in the morning thing, okay? It's earnest entreaty. A heartfelt prayer, amen? And supplication. The word supplication also means petitioning prayer. So they were crying out to God. They were earnestly seeking him in prayer, calling on his name, and also making petitions to the Lord, asking the Lord for help in the areas where they had need, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come," that was 50 days after, remember the cross, "they were all with what? One accord in one place." Very important that they are all in one accord in one place, in obedience to what the Lord had instructed them to do. How many know it's very important that we listen to what the Lord tells us to do? Because you'll be blessed if you do. They could have decided, "No, I think I just want to go home and do my own thing. Take care of the cattle," or whatever they had to do. No, but they were obedient to the Lord. They decided, hey, it's better to listen to Jesus. Amen? So let's do what he said. And suddenly, it was an unexpected thing. We don't know when God's going to show up sometimes, you know, like that. We have those moments, don't we, in life where all of a sudden God shows up. I love it, don't you? "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Oh, there's that tongue thing. Any tongue talkers out there? Unapologetically? Okay. Romans 8, verse 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, every Christian receives the Holy Spirit at salvation. Can you say amen? But not all Christians are baptized or immersed. It means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. So you can have the Holy Spirit, but not be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Not be saturated with his presence. Because God will only go where he's invited. And some people shut God out. Some people have the Lord in their life as a guest, But they don't have much time for the guest. They don't talk to the guest very much. Are you hearing me? And some people that don't really want the guest. If you got Jesus in you, you'll become a new creation. Amen? Things will change. Amen? But if we're not careful, we can get distracted by life. Amen? And we could disconnect in fellowship with the Lord. And we can become very dry. Even as Christians. Amen? You can become dry spiritually. So God wants us immersed or saturated or filled with His presence. And again, the Lord will occupy the places in us that we're willing to yield to Him, that we're willing to give Him access to. If you don't want to give Him access to you, He's not going to kick the door down. If you want to be an outer court Christian, you just want to splash around in the kiddie pool and get a little sample here and there, a few goosebumps here and there, that's what you'll get. But if you want the fullness of God, amen, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to yield your body. You're going to have to sacrifice, amen, live a living sacrifice of this thing right here. This body, amen, which is the temple of God. To yield yourself back to God. To allow Him to fill you and use you. Because we don't just get filled with the Holy Spirit in vain, right? We receive the grace of God so that we can be effective or powerful witnesses for Christ. And that's what happened in my life. That's what made the difference. Is when God baptized me with the Holy Spirit. And so they were all together in one accord. And then there had this sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. Filled the whole house. They were, what? Filled in verse 4. And every Christian, again, receives the Holy Spirit when you're born again. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to Him, right? Verse 9. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Now remember, again, Jesus told His followers in Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem, you know, until you are endued with power from on high. Now, we live in a microwave society, don't we? We want things now. We don't want to wait for anything. And I think that there are things that God wants to do for us and in us, but it's going to require a sacrifice of our time. How many know that whatever you give up for God, you don't lose and you don't regret? The enemy will try to convince you that you're going to miss something or lose something by totally surrendering your life to God. He's a liar and a thief. God only wants to do good for us. Can you say amen? Amen. So what again was this promise? The promise of the Father. Well, the prophet Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Guys, I believe this way, that God is pouring out His Spirit. But not everybody is receptive. Not everybody's willing to yield. Not everybody's in a place where they really want to give God full charge. You see, we have to be willing to yield our will to the will of the Master in order to be a vessel of honor. Amen? And so He's not going to force that on us. If you're hungry, you'll be filled. If you thirst for Him, you'll be satisfied. If you go, amen, after Him, He's looking for you already. He'll meet you. Amazing things happen when people are unified, when people come together in unity. Amazing things happen. Both negative and positive. I think we've seen some negative things happen recently where people gather together, crowds get together, and they can all unify even on a lie sometimes and do some crazy stuff because they believed the lie. And you know, guys, it was said in Sunday school this morning that if we don't want the truth, then we'll believe the lie. If you don't want the truth, then you'll believe the lie. God will give the truth to those who really want to know. The disciples are the ones that came to Jesus and say, Lord, what did you mean by that? The Pharisees say, oh, we already know that stuff. But the disciples are like they were the children with a hungry, open, yielded heart. Say, Lord, teach us. We want to know. We want to know the truth. Teach us your ways. Lead us in your ways. So there's negative things that can happen, but also very positive things when people are together. Now, a negative is in Genesis chapter 11. Remember the Tower of Babel? In Genesis 11, verse 4, they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So here we see man's attempt to unify and rebellion against their Creator and totally disregard God's right to rule over him. There's nothing new under the sun. The same thing is happening today. The nations are rebelling. You know, kings are rebelling. They want to be God, and they don't want God ruling over them. So let's say, let's disregard his authority, and let's pull together, and together we'll be strong. And we'll be able to maintain and hold on to this power. How many know they're not able to hold on to that power very long? Amen. Because when God says it's time up, it's time up. And God is merciful. He gives people a space to repent, a time to repent. But then the time comes when God says time up, the judgment is sealed. And that's what's going to happen to those who refuse to bow their knee to Christ. Amen. And right now you're seeing rebellion. Amen. You're seeing lawlessness across the globe. Jesus said that would happen prior to his return. We're seeing another Babel of people coming together under humanity saying, "We will make a name for ourselves." And they all had one language. Isn't it interesting that they're finding pyramids around the globe, even some under the ocean, that all have the same hieroglyphics? Did I say that right? Yeah. How did that happen? Well, they're discovering that these pyramids are all on the ley lines where the electronic currents run across the globe, okay, in the tips, and they're actually like a battery. They store, and so there was like an international web stream in antiquity, and that's what these were for. And so isn't it interesting, they're finding, and some are believing this was, you know, years ago, of course, but that they were able to communicate around the world through these devices. That's something to think about. Look it up. There's some research on this. It's very interesting that what they find in the basement or the bottoms of many of these are inorganic matter, organic matter, inorganic matter, just like you would have in a battery for storage. And they're set right on the ley lines across the globe. That's cool, huh? Yeah. So they're all one language, and they're all together, and we're going to make a name for ourselves, and we'll make ourselves be God, and there's going to be an elite few at the top, you know, that are laughing on the way to the bank while everybody else is poor. Sound familiar? Remember, when they said, "Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth," in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and..." They said, "No, we don't want to do that." Rebellion against their Creator. However, positive things, that's what we're going to talk about today, all right? Positive things happen when people are united under God's rule. Hallelujah. When we're together and we're having a time of praise and worship and... Amen. And we're all like seeking God together. You know, God shows up where he's wanted. Amen. We don't invite ourselves over to people's houses where they don't want us, right? Not normally. Yeah. But positive things happen when we're united under God's rule. Look at this. I love one of my favorite Psalms. You know this one, Psalms 133. Verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, the enemy's always attacking that. The enemy's trying to get us to point fingers. You know? "It's because of you that I'm like I am. It's because of you that I'm having a bad day." We've all been caught up in that before. We've all done the blame game, right? If you're born in Adam like the rest of us, maybe you weren't, but the rest of us have done that, you know, so... We've been born selfish, okay? And I used to be big time in the blame game. Because I didn't want to take responsibility for my own actions. It was always somebody else's fault. And in verse 2, it says, when we're together in unity, it's like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. You know, we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being the head of the church. Amen. The anointed head of the church. And the garments speak of the body. You and I are his body on the earth. Amen. And so from the head comes the anointing. Amen. Down upon the garments. Hallelujah. And it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, where? When we're united together in the Spirit, in one accord, the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. That's when salvation, healing, deliverance takes place. When we're in harmony with the Lord, amen? And especially when we're in harmony together in the Lord, amen? It's so much better when we do that. Okay, moving along. Some things are worth waiting for. I know. My dog is waiting for her breakfast. She's spoiled rotten. I'm about ready to lay hands on her suddenly, but yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's why they call me Sugar Daddy, see? Yeah. But some things are worth waiting for, you know? Because I know Heisuke, she put together some pretty good stuff for those dogs, you know? She has this little pan that she heats up some sweet potato, and so they're getting their kibble, but, you know, she just mixes this good stuff in there, and they're just like, you know? And they're only like 8 pounds, but boy, they sound like a full-sized dog when they eat. But Jesus told his disciples to wait, all right, to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. And who else had to wait for something? Remember Elisha? Had to wait for the mantle of Elijah, right? He had asked for a double portion. And when he received that mantle, because he had waited, he was faithful to serve Elijah in his mission, amen? And when the time came and he was there when he went away, amen, and he ascended into heaven, the mantle fell to who? To Elisha. He was there to pick it up, amen? And Elisha did what? Double the miracles of Elijah. He got a double portion. And so in 2 Kings 2:11, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12, and Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And then he just stood and stared at the Jordan. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 14. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and did what? Struck the water. Come on, you know where this is going, right? How many know that our faith needs action? Faith without works is. And so he struck the water, didn't he? And it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. Amen. So, who else? How about Jacob? He's a good example of tarrying, right? Till daybreak, he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, remember? And what did he say to the angel of the Lord? I will not let you go unless you bless me. How many know that sometimes we need to just stand in there and say, I'm not leaving until I get your blessing, amen? Or this thing that's been eating at me is resolved, all right? Sometimes, you know, you can get that monkey on your back in life, right? And sometimes it just doesn't instantly go away. Sometimes you just got to get on your face before God and start crying out and tarry in His presence. And sometimes God will give you an instruction and said, well, you need to repent of this. Just listen to what He says. Just obey Him. Say, okay, Lord. Confess, renounce, amen, and then comes the peace. Other times you just got to contend because we live in a world full of devils and the oppressor is sometimes just trying to press you down, you know. So you got to break through in prayer. You got to tarry. You got to break through until you get over yourself in a sense. If I'm full of me, I can't be full of Jesus, amen. And if I'm not full of Jesus, I'm certainly not going to be an effective witness for Him because the power is of Him and not of me. So we can't rely upon our own ability to be effective witnesses for Jesus. We need the power of God. And the power of God is not always an instant thing. And there was times, if you read throughout the book of Acts, where they had prayed again. And the place where they were assembled was shaken. They were filled. Amen. And spoke the word of God with boldness. How about Prophet Samuel? He told King Saul in 1 Samuel 10:6, when the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Isn't it interesting how God can take quiet, shy people, fill them with His power, and then become noisy for Him? He can take somebody in, and He takes us in our weakness. And He enables us by His power. That's because then we rely upon Him for the ability. Amen? And we're not just trying, well, I've got to preach a sermon. Well, what am I going to do? Oh, man, this is just, I can't, what am I going to preach? What am I going to say? And we're fretting. We say, just get into the presence of the Lord, relax, and listen. And sometimes God will just drop a word, you know, and once you get that word, go from there. He may just give you a topic. I want you to talk about love. I like doing topical messages, sermons, you know. Anyways, moving right along. Peter became another man too, didn't he? He was the one that denied the Lord because he thought within himself he had the power, the ability to be strong and to be bold until he found out that he wasn't all that when the enemy came against him. Because our enemy is greater than we are. Say amen, somebody. So we need the power of God. We need to be clothed in Christ in order to defeat and overcome that adversary. God has already done it, but we need the power of God in order to enforce what He's already done. Acts 2:14, but Peter, and here he is on the day of Pentecost. Peter got on fire for God, didn't he? Standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. What was that? He was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And the day of Pentecost had finally come. They were together, unified in one place. Suddenly, all right, God shows up. There are flames of fire filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in new tongues. And they spoke in the languages of the people that were there as well. And God was declaring His works through them. Everything we must do, everything we do, hear me, must be done in love. You know, it's not enough just to ask God for gifts and for things and for stuff. We need God's heart in us. We need to be filled with His love. Amen? So in John 13:34, this is what Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now look at 1 Corinthians 13:1. I bet you some of you heard this one before. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. What kind of tongues? Tongues of men and angels. But have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, you're just becoming noisy. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. When people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they are enabled to pray in the Holy Spirit. When you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're then enabled to pray in the Holy Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is often praying in tongues. Somebody say amen. Amen. And how do I know that? The Bible tells me so. 1 Corinthians 14:14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's why there is a gift of discernment, right? And a gift of interpretation of tongues. All right? If we're doing a message tongue, it's good to have an interpretation, right? So there's a gift of interpretation of tongues as well. But he's saying, but when I'm praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, right, then my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. Right? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Praying in tongues. Ever pray in tongues? Yeah. Now, again, I want to repeat this. in chapter 2 and verse 4 of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and did what? Spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what were they doing? Well, they were declaring the works of God. Look at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Cretans and Arabs. There's all kinds of people from around the globe that were there for that event. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Have anybody ever had that encounter before where somebody had maybe prayed over you and prayed in Spanish or something? Or people have been in different countries where they just started praying, you know, and they prayed in tongues and they didn't even realize it, but they were praying the native tongue. You know, and God spoke to that person through a tongue. So there are tongues of men, but there are also the angelic tongues. Amen? And sometimes we're speaking mysteries. But it's the Spirit that gives utterance, the Spirit that helps us to pray. And we don't really know how to pray adequately, you know. It's so much easier sometimes just to get into the Spirit and pray in the Holy Ghost, if you will, okay? And what happens is you are personally edified through this, strengthened through this. So they're a sign, tongues are a sign that a person has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We see that. Acts 10:45, and those of the circumcision, the Jews, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How did they know that? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the new birth. It's not regeneration. That happens when you're born again, amen, and the Spirit of God comes within you. You become a new creation. Now, how do I know that? Because the Bible says so. Remember, the apostles had their names written in heaven prior to Pentecost, the same ones that Jesus told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Come on, somebody. Verse 17 of Luke 10. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And what did he say, verse 20? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because what? Your names are written in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Is your name in heaven? Yeah. Hallelujah. They had great joy at the ascension of Jesus too. So they had great joy even when Jesus was carried up prior to what? Pentecost. Amen. Luke 24:52, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now the people of Samaria, here's another one, they received the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. Acts 8:14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So there's a difference between the Spirit's baptism, amen, and the baptism in the Lord Jesus. So what is that? They were water baptized. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Stay with me. The Samaritans also believed Philip's preaching and were baptized, right? And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. In verse 12, though, moving up 8, verse 12, when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Okay, so here they were baptized, what? In water. But they hadn't received the Holy Spirit until what? Peter and John laid their hands on them. The Ephesians also were believers in Jesus, but had not heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:1, and it happened when, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they were believers. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Interesting. Believers in Jesus who had not heard of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Well, what was John's baptism? Right, but it was a baptism of repentance, right? Okay? As before, preparing the way for what? For the Lord's coming. Okay? And Acts chapter 19, verse 4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, didn't he? And they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Guys, I don't believe the power of God is optional for a believer. I believe we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We must receive the power of God in order to be effective witnesses for Jesus. God can take a mild-mannered, shy individual, amen, and empower them and use them mightily to be a bold witness, a fearless witness for Him. Amen. God gives us supernatural boldness. Amen. When we are clothed in Him, we have this supernatural confidence that comes with that. Amen. God wants to fill us up so that we're not having those inner insecurities anymore. The insecurities are a good thing initially, to cause us to go deeper into God. Amen. So that He will fill us up and give us His full peace. So, you know, and I'm talking about, you guys have been places before that you might not have asked yourself to go. But you did something in obedience to God, even though it might have been a little scary. I have been there a few times. Been into places where, I probably wouldn't have gone on my own. But I felt God was telling me to go. So I went. And I found that the Lord would meet me in the place of obedience. And He'd give me confidence. He'd give me assurance. Yeah. I've had some people before that want to take my head off. Maybe literally. But God gave me grace. He gave me strength. He gave me a confident assurance. And, you know, I've discovered that the love of God is the most powerful force in the universe. Amen. It can melt the heart of stone. It can cause people that are in a rage to melt. That's why we're supposed to love and to bless. Amen. And not curse. Bless those who. But when a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit, they become powerful witness for Christ. Now, remember this. The early church witnessed concerning Jesus. Remember, the king was with them. So the Lord gave them exousia. He gave them authority, all right, because they're under His headship while He was on the earth. So they cast out demons and preached the kingdom, right? Raised the dead. But when Jesus went away, He says, it's expedient for me to go away, amen? Because if I don't go away, then you're not going to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. But when I go back to the Father, I'm going to send the promise upon you so you can be empowered to be a witness for me. And do the things that you wouldn't be able to do, but the Lord would be glorified because people will know it's only you. Because God can't use the proud, you know. He can't. If we're full of us, we can't be full of Him. So if you want God's grace in your life, don't make it about you. Make it about Jesus, right? And we've got to guard ourselves, all of us do, against that. Hallelujah. So before Pentecost, Jesus gave them, amen, a measure of anointing. They went out, they cast out demons, healed the sick, were full of joy. In Acts chapter 13, 52, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So in Ephesians 5:18, we are counseled in Scripture to do what? Not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word, be filled, means continually. Just like the Old Testament priest needed to keep the supply of oil, what? Continually. The lamp was not to go out. We are a priesthood in Christ today. We are to keep the flame. God supplies the oil. My responsibility, amen, is to receive the oil and keep the flame. Trim out of my life anything that would hinder, amen, and get in the way of what God wants to do through me. Get over myself, repent of my sin, amen. Get into position, amen, and let God fill you up and let Him use you, amen, for His glory. And you will have treasure in heaven, hallelujah. Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's why we do that. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How are we doing? Okay. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, here we go. How can I receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Number one, by believing in the promise of God. Amen? Believing God's word concerning the promise and receive by faith what He promised you. You don't work for it. You receive it by faith. You believe what God said, and as a child you come before your Heavenly Father and say, Father, You had promised me that You would give me the Holy Spirit. Amen? How much more will Your Father in Heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Amen? He says, you guys are evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more Your Father in Heaven can give you, amen, good things, all right, good gifts, and give you His Holy Spirit. Number two, we receive by seeking the Lord, calling upon His name. And I say it often, but we've got to learn how to seek the giver and not the gift. Sometimes people are seeking tongues. I'm seeking tongues. Seek Jesus, amen. Let Him fill your life, amen. And also allow the Holy Spirit to work through other believers. In other words, be willing even to allow others who are Spirit-filled people to lay their hands on you, just like the disciples laid their hands, amen? And God imparted His Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. They believed in Jesus, they were baptized in water, but when the apostles laid their hands upon them, they received the Holy Spirit. The people of God who have received the Holy Spirit, amen, with the evidence, amen, first of all, of the boldness, amen, the evidence of tongues, amen. There are signs that God gives, all right, that say yes indeed. How did they know? How did the Gentiles know? Because they heard Him speaking in tongues and what? Glorifying God. How many know when you see a person who is Spirit-filled? How many can recognize now that person's on fire for God? Amen? How many know it's good for you to be around people who are on fire for God? Amen? And allow other believers. At times, I'll ask, hey, would you guys pray for me? All right? Let's pray for one another. Because God works through the body. You know, if one part of the body is lacking, hallelujah, the rest of the body can come and say, we're going to supply what's lacking. All right? Just like your body, you minister to yourself, right? I trust you brushed your teeth this morning, right? Well, it didn't happen automatically. There had to be an action, right? People are listening online saying, what did you just do? We need to cooperate with the Lord. We need to partner with Him. We need to agree with Him. And He'll show us. He gives us instructions. It's simple. You know, God says it's okay to be you, by the way. Okay? Just be you. And God will work through you just like you are. You don't have to go around. I've seen some people that were really, really spiritual, man. In fact, spooky spiritual, you know. No other. They want to lay hands on me. I'm like, no, thank you. See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so we don't want to make it about the earthen vessel. We want to make it about us, all right? You say, let me give you Jesus. Let me share the Lord with you. And whatever He wants to do, amen, through me. Hallelujah. But we get to do this. So allow people. And I'm going to finish with this today. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. There it is. All right. Baptism in what? Water. In the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've seen people even during water baptism get Spirit-filled. Amen. Sometimes people got Spirit-filled and, you know, prior to water baptism. I think I did. Yeah. Anyways, the bottom line is we all need God. We need the Lord. Amen. We need His strength. We need His help. Because, you know, there's a lot of pressure, isn't there? This world is full of pressure and temptations and devils and, you know, but God's grace is sufficient for everything that we have need of. The Lord shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. He will impart the grace. If we're hungry, we'll be satisfied. If you get, guys, I want you to understand, you got to get over it. Well, somebody's watching me. Get over that. Go for it. I always use this example. I love, keep Larry in prayer. He's improving, but he's been struggling. Larry Seymour, he's called it your ugly praise. He said, get your ugly praise on. And I was like, yeah, brother, that's what it's about, you know. We got to get over ourselves, you know. How many of you like to play with your kids on the living room floor, right? You get down with your kids and you're rolling in the... Yeah, you just have a good time with them, right? Oh, are you suggesting we become one of them holy roller churches? Or, as long as it's an anointed roll, you know. Let's just obey God, okay? Whatever the Lord tells you to do, all right? Because what we don't want to do is draw attention to ourselves unless we're doing it as an example for somebody else to turn them to Jesus. Amen? So that's why we tell the worship team, when we're up here, you know, just worship Jesus. Don't be so concerned if people are sitting there with their thumb in their nose and, you know, they're just sitting around like this and, oh, big deal. When is this thing going to be over? I said, just worship Jesus. Amen? Get in the glory zone, amen, and God will begin to move, amen. And it's amazing how, I mean, there's a time in my life when I was one of those people, you know, my arms full, what is it all about, you know, until God got a hold of me one day. And now I knew what all those abnormal people were about, you know. Now it's normal to me, so. But that's the way it is. Be a glutton for God's presence. Do you love His presence? You don't have to wait to come here for that, amen, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can have communion with the Lord in your heart every day as you're singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? And we sing to one another, amen, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We edify, so there must be a gathering, amen. We don't neglect that. God wants us to do it so that we can be mutually edified. Boy, I tell you, again, we had such a good time yesterday. Out at the barn, just singing, kumbaya moment, you know? Wasn't it? Kind of going back to some of the old stuff from years ago. You sure weren't there. Yeah. But I tell you what, it was just so good. You know, God's getting you guys ready. He's getting us ready for eternity. You know, He wants a bride that's beautiful. He wants a church that's pure, that's holy. Amen? That's divorced themselves from death and from the world and the flesh and all these things. Amen? That are committed themselves over to God that they may work together with Jesus and accomplish His mission until the day comes when the Lord says, come. Amen? And He comes to gather us. Hallelujah. We go to our eternal reward. I want to say this about our brother Dan. What a faithful servant. He's not a perfect man, but, you know, he loved the Lord. You know, and he's a faithful servant. And, man... Yeah, he was an encourager. I miss him, you know, just being up here and saying an amen and hallelujah and that contagious laugh he had, you know. Yeah, man, he's a beautiful brother. Question is, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit since you believed? You know, God wants you to be filled. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you that you are willing, Lord, to lay down your life for us. That you are willing to pay the price that we deserve to pay. That we could go free. That we could be forgiven. And Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we believe you. We believe what you said. We believe the report that was given to us concerning our salvation. That he who has the Son has life. We believe in you, Lord. Oh God, we know that you also want us to be filled, to be immersed in your presence. So today, Lord, we come to you and we ask you to fill us again. Lord, that we might be continually filled, that we might bear fruit unto eternal life, that we might glorify you, that your mission will be accomplished in the time you've given us, Lord. For we know, Lord God, the days and the hours are quickly passing by. And we ask you, God, for your grace this morning. Would you lift your hands to him? Would you ask him, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Please forgive me for all my sins. Blot out my transgressions. Purge my iniquities. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Work through me. Pray through me. Move through me, Lord. May your kingdom come and your will be done in my life and in my family and in our nation. Through me, Lord, release your glory. Release your anointing. Lord, anoint me for greater things. Fill me with the fire of your Holy Spirit. Set my heart aflame for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. If you pray in the Spirit, go ahead and pray in the Spirit right now. Go ahead and lift your voice. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. We break the yoke of the oppressor in this place today in Jesus' name. Loose them in Jesus' name. Satan, go now! In Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Hallelujah, send me.